Well, let's just go into the word this evening. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Trusting God to have a good time this evening. And I'm trusting God that we'll be instructed as well. What series are we looking at again? The honor culture. Now, one of the things that, you know, like I said in some of our previous meetings, is that I look forward to being a pastor, right, of a local church of people who are honorable. Are we together? Right, looking forward to being a pastor of people who are honorable, right? They are known for being honorable. And one of the things we're doing in this series is not just to limit the concept and teaching of honor to the local assembly and to your leaders, to your pastors, but also to extend that to various relationships as well, right? So if you look through Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." Now, what Paul is speaking about here is particular about the writings of the prophets. Now, we've taught several in church that what we call the Old Testament books is what the Paul and his colleagues would have as scriptures in their world. Right? So they had that as scriptures in their world. So it means that Paul did not have the ability to, you know, be in the front of people, for instance, or Jesus, and say, "Open your Bibles to Romans," like we did this evening, right? And that's because what they had was scriptures. Then afterwards, the epistles would be written. And, you know, the foundation of the epistles would be the writings of Moses, the writings of the prophets, you know, and the Psalms, as we would call it. But Paul says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. If you go flick back all the way to Romans 12, it says, "Be kindly affectionate," verse 10, "one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord," you know, "rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in" what? "Instant prayer." But if you go back to verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Right? So there's such a thing called being kindly affectionate one to another. And it says, with brotherly love. You know, if you look through scriptures, and look at Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 11. Hebrews 2, 11. It says, "For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." He's not ashamed to call them brethren. "Both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Now, the word "the brethren" is the Greek word adelphos. Right? Adelphos. And that word adelphos is a word that comes from the, you know, root word, you know, delphos, so to say, and that speaks about womb. Right? So when you say adelphos, what the Bible is referring to there is people from the same womb. That is, people that have the same origination or the same source. Right? If you now jump all the way to chapter 13, it says, verse 1, Hebrews 13, 1. Let's read Hebrews 13, 1 together quickly. Hebrews 13, 1. Are we all there? Yes. Hebrews 13, 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. "Let brotherly love continue." So when someone says, "Let brotherly love continue," the word there, "let," can we see it as allow? Can we see it as permit? Right? So can we say permit brotherly love, or allow brotherly love to continue? Is that correct? Right? So why should it continue? You know, when you're watching a movie, you don't continue from where you did not stop. All right? Yeah, if you are to continue, is that you started somewhere, then pause, then continue. Is that correct? Right. So when the Bible says "let brotherly love continue," right, and in the real sense, if you look at that in the layman's English, "let brotherly love continue" means allow it to continue to flow. That means it started from somewhere. Is that correct? So who will be the first one that extends brotherly love? For he who sanctified, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For this cause it's not ashamed to call them brethren, right? So that extension of love towards us as believers, right, is the extension of love that God wants to continue. So how will it continue? We will allow it. Is that correct? Yeah? So for love to continue amongst brethren, it means brethren will allow it to continue. So if you go back to Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, where we were. So Romans 12 now says, be kindly affectionate one to another. That's another way of saying, let brotherly love continue. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Right? You know, in our world, it's very easy to, you know, push the propagation or the, to propagate the narrative of selfishness. What is selfishness? Selfishness really means selfishness. Who can define selfishness for us? To be selfish. Yeah? To be full of self. To look out for only yourself. Right? Are we together? Yeah? To look out for only yourself. I like that. I like that answer. It has a little taste of diplomacy. Are we together? Yeah? So she's not saying to look out for yourself, but it is look out for only yourself. Yeah? So if you look through scriptures, right, what God will teach or what scripture will teach particularly is that you consider another. Are we together? Scripture will teach us in Matthew, and he will say that, you know, the greatest commandment is that is love. Right? Yeah? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might. Are we together? And the second commandment is what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we've taught that over time, that scripture does not mean love people the way you want to be loved. Are we together? Or love people the way you like to receive love. You know, in our world today, we have different, you know, psychologists and different theories and whatever that come with different names. So people say they are different. Something called love language. Is that correct? There's love language. There's what? What do you call it? Act of service. That's your own, act of service. For you to remember act of service and say it that way. They say that your own is act of service. So there's act of service. There's what? Is that your own too? There's act of service. There's quality time. There's gifts. Why are volumes louder and gifts? Praise God forevermore. So, quality time, gifts, act of service, word of affirmation, physical touch. Are we together? Right? You know, so people build other things. So, sometimes when you see some therapists or psychologists or whatever name you want to call them, or motivational speakers, they'll tell you that, you know, how you want to be loved, show that kind of love. Right? So, if you're a person that loves word of affirmation, what do you do? ChatGPT. Are we together? Right? Yeah. How do you say words of affirmation to your wife or to your husband? ChatGPT will give you like 10 lines. You now type. You now say, extend it more. They will make it 20 lines. You say, make it comprehensive. Are we together? Right? You know, I know nowadays, if you are very sensitive, you know a ChatGPT message when you see it. It's very clear. Are we together? Yeah. Somebody sent a message to, you know, my mom, I think, and, you know, she's, I don't know, maybe my sister actually, right? And the way the message came to the group chat was ChatGPT Pro. So even when I read it in my mind, I felt like, you know, there's a difference between doing ChatGPT and you can modify it and put your words, right? Yeah. May your days be full with light. Right? You can change it to, you know. I wish that above all things, that light floods your day. At least let it give you an idea. Don't be lazy. Are we together? I remember in school, right? Let me not share this testimony for now. I'll keep it for years to come because it's not long ago I graduated. Let them not collect the certificate. Let it be like after 30 years, I'll share the testimony. Right? But what am I saying? Right? So we've taught over time that it's easier to demonstrate love the way you want people to love you. But in a real sense, that's selfish. How together? Because it's about you. It's about yourself. It's about what you think. It's about what you want. Right? You see, if two people in a relationship, no matter the kind of relationship, can prioritize the other above themselves, relationships will not go south. How together? Mind you, I didn't say one party. I mean two people. Right? Relationship will not go south. Right, and it's just an extension, or what is expected from you as a believer is extend the love you've received. It says, let brotherly love continue. Yeah, if you go back to Hebrews 13, don't go there. But the previous verse in chapter 12, verse 29, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. right? And when you read through the context of Hebrew, you'll find out that God being a consuming fire does not mean that God has fire in his wings. Are we together? But there's such a thing that God's fire consumes, right? And that will be that which doesn't have to deal or do with love. That's why the next statement you see in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let what? Brotherly love continue. But Romans 12 is my emphasis today. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Be kindly affectionate, verse 10, one to another, honoring, preferring one another. Now, what did we say honor is? Honor means to what? Treat or regard someone, something, somewhere. With what? A place, right? With what? There's a word. With admiration. Honor means you treat with admiration. Now, is honor only supposed to be for those who are older than you? No. When honor is only a thing that is limited to a particular set of people, you are in the wrong. Right? For honor is not something that is meant to be for those who are older than you, your parents alone. No. Right? Honor is something that should exude from you regardless of who you are dealing with. You can be honorable. Right? And today we're going to pay attention to the kind of honor expected from servant or leader, so to say. Let me say that differently. How should leaders behave? Are we together? And I hope you know that if you're a member of God's palace, the truth is that the way we train ourselves in church is in view that someday, one day, you will be a leader. Are we here together? Right? Someday, one day, you will be a discipler. Not even someday, you should already be a discipler. Are we together, right? We are teaching you God's word so that you also have people you are teaching God's word, right? So there's an expectation. Now, one of the things or the problems a lot of times people struggle with is the extremes people go. Like I've always said, and you know, I've said it in almost every meeting this season, right? Or this series, probably even the last series, that a fact has been taken to an extreme, right? You ought not to go to another extreme to tackle it. What we end up finding is that people go to an extreme, together, right? And they tackle it. And it's a, and honor is a particular subject that, you know, falls in that paradigm. It's something that falls within that, you know, jurisdiction, basically, right? There are extremes. We're together, you know. But when we try to tackle extremes, we need to ensure that we stay within the confines of the world. Are we together? Let every guard that we have be guards that are within the confines of the world. So honor means to treat. Are we together? Treat. Are we together? What's the second word? Regard. Right? So is there anything called honor for a place? Are we together? Right? So, you know, in God's palace, for instance, we want to start service, right? We always admonish everybody to come before time church starts. Is that correct? Yeah? That's part of honor. Is that correct? Yeah? Everyone comes into church. Everybody's ready to start service. That's part of honor. Are we together, right? In God's palace, we believe that, you know, once we start service or once we start our meetings, you know, we try to as much as possible, reduce distractions. That's honor for a place. Because we've taught over time that things happen in places because God will use men. So if men are involved in places, it means that God can use places. Are we together? I had a story of Pastor Adeboye one day, right? He went to probably Edel somewhere, you know, let's go out fishing. There's a evangelistic, you know, ministry and vision they have in that church, you know. And he said, let's go and fishing. And he went to a place, and, you know, the roads were too bad. He's an elderly man. I don't know how many. I think this was a couple years ago, actually. Probably he said 3-4 years ago. I can't remember the exact figure. But, you know, but he went to that let's go out fishing, and he said it was God that saved his life. Like, he felt that he was going to lose his life because the road was bad, the dust, everything got into his system and all those things. You know, but he said something. He said, with the last breath he had in himself, he just said, please take me to redemption camp. Are we together? He said, please, just let me take it. What happened? His disciples and all of that, they tried to find a way. Because he went there by road. They found a way to charter an helicopter that would pick him from the place to redemption camp. Are we together? And what happened? Right? The helicopter came. He said that the area boys around started, you know, who imagine a helicopter want to fly. Somebody's holding the leg of a helicopter. I saw a news recently. There was someone that hid behind tire of a plane. He wants to be located by force. Are we together? Right? And people tried. I think they said they broke the window. They broke something. One way or the other. But the pilots, you know, was able to get him in that helicopter straight into redemption camp. And he said, the moment he settled and touched redemption camp, he got healed. He said that he knew that if he gets to that land, he will get healed. Are we together? Right? See, that's the man that made that place. Are we here? He is the man. But he is wise enough to know that there are deposits that can be left any place. Are we together? Right? So it means that there's a sense of honor we need to have for things, for places, and for people particularly. So today we're going to look at, you know, the culture of honor, and also particularly pay attention to, you know, some of the things that we've said over time. Praise God forevermore. We've looked at various relationships. Is that correct? We've looked at sibling relationship. Yeah, okay, beautiful. Today we're going to look at servant-master relationship. That's what I was going to say earlier on. Servant-master relationship. You know, in the Christian faith, we're not promised that you will be a servant or be a master. But there are phases of your life where you'll be a servant, and there are phases you can be a master. Is that correct? And I'm trying to use servant-master as biblical words, but I want to apply it to your workplace. Altogether, right? I want to apply it to your workplace. So, first of all, last week on Sunday we looked at Dathan. Is that correct? Dathan. You don't know their names again? Korah and Abiram. Are we together? Yeah. And we also looked at Aaron and Miriam. Yeah. What did we say about Aaron and Miriam? We looked through scriptures. They had two relationships with Moses. They were related by blood, and they're related by blood. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, are we together, right? So Moses was like their pastor. Are we together? But what happened? They dishonored Moses such that they said some things, and God came into the narrative and said, did you not think of who you were talking about? Did you not think of the words you said? And the Bible just records that, you know, leprosy came on them, you know. And, you know, if you listen to what I say carefully, listen to how I say things. You understand? You would have observed, I didn't say God gave them leprosy. Did you would have observed that, right? Yeah? You would have observed, I said God, you would not have heard me say God killed Dathan. You understand what I'm trying to say? You heard the story of, you know, the person who I said was talking in their mind and they became mute. Yeah, you know, in all of those things, you did you see how I said it, right? Yeah, it is that they had. Yeah, so what happened? Leprosy came on them. And what happened? Moses did something. Moses supernaturally prayed for the leprosy to go away. Then a few chapters after Numbers chapter 16, we see that Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they gathered 250 people. Is that correct? 250 people came together, right, and they began to form, what do you call it, a political, you know, what do you call it, what? Caucus. Are we together, right? Caucus, that's the word. Are we together? Yeah, where there is a local church and there are various local churches. Let me say this clearly to the other church and let me make it plain. Let me tell you, everyone in this local church is called into ministry. We know that already, right? You know, but there's such a thing called headship and leadership in the church. And there is who your leader is, who your leaders are. Are we together? And let me say this clearly. You know, sometimes one of the things that scatters churches or scatter people, or get people get divided attention in local churches, is when somebody in the local church, right, begins to start a fellowship outside of the knowledge of the pastor or the local church, and members of the local church are going there. Let me say clearly, right? If Brother Jude starts a fellowship tomorrow, right, there is none of you, as long as you met him in God's palace, there's none of you who should find yourself in that meeting without your consent of your leader or your pastor. When someone leaves your local church dishonorably, should that be your best friend? Let's assume that was your best friend before. You know, more often than not, when someone leaves the place dishonorably, the words they say, they never carry love and light. If that's the place where you are getting blessed, right, and you get yourself susceptible or available to words from those kind of hot hearts, you are getting yourself in problem, in trouble. It's very simple. I don't think it should be complex. You understand? It shouldn't be complex. You honor a man, for instance. You know, maybe your leader or whatever it is, right? And for some reasons, right, something happens, right? And, you know, even Bible teaches about certain conversations about those who were with us and who are not with us again, right? Those who are, you know, those who were supposed to mark and avoid. Now, I understand there is, and it's the same thing I was saying earlier on, when you use one extreme to fight another extreme, very, very important. You know, so there's a thing called structure and order in the local church, right? Yeah, I should not hear one day that Brother Bukai is doing a fellowship in his house, and I'm not aware about it. And let's just say one day I was just talking with Sister Marachi. How are you doing? How's your week? Oh, I'm fine. What's your plan for this evening? I'm going for a fellowship with Brother Ibuka. Eh? And maybe his fellowship is shoots with Ibuka. Shoot with Ebuka. I'm going for shoot, oh. You understand? Are we together? Now, the truth is that you are to be in a local church, not to cause division in the local church, to reach out to the world that are lost. People are lost. Why are your members of the church? Do you understand? It's just so ridiculous. You said God call you. And the people that are in your cell, the cell that pastor does not know about, oh, are people you met in the church. And you're asking them to come to your house and you're saying, we just want to feast around. What it brought, someone did that, you know, in my dad's ministry and all of those things. And interestingly, it was his brother. His cousin. And we're together. And at that point, he just told him, go and look for your pastor. I can't be your pastor. Guess what? When he left the church, more than half of the church went with him. That will happen under my watch. You know, in prayer. You can't pray it. If I will scatter you. What nonsense is that? My dad will sweat. He will labor. He will teach. He will come. And he will go and prepare Panadeam for them in his home. On Sunday, every Sunday evening, there was fellowship after fellowship. And more than half of the church will go to his house. They eat Pamela, eat Pandegam, eat, sweat it down. And all they're talking about is, this one will say, ah, what pastor said, I don't agree with him today. Oh. No, this one will also say, may I agree, but partly. And before you know, they will spend, church was 2 hours. They spent 7 hours in his house. It can't happen here. My eyes are open. I don't have to call him one day and say, you know, I can't be your pastor. Go and look for your pastor, go and start your church. And that's why you find people who think they are very perfect. They don't have anything. If you are active in ministry, you won't speak down on ministry. Do you understand? If you cast out demons, you won't say people who are demon-possessed is their mind. You've not casted out demons. Are we together? Yeah? So you will find out that there's such a thing called order that should be in place. And that's what happened to Aaron and Miriam. Dathan, Koran, even Aaron and Miriam, they had their own carcass. Are we together? You know, there's such a thing called being united, right? Yeah. So if somebody starts a meeting, I expect every one of you here to come and say, ah, pastor, let me say it differently. If somebody should ask you or tell you they're inviting you for a fellowship, right, and church does not announce it on the church, right, it's your responsibility to speak to your pastor. Pastor, are you aware of this? That's order. That's order. Are we together? Right? And in the midst of what Moses was building, three people came together and they divided, they took 250 human beings to themselves. And what happened in narrative? You know, the instruction that God gave was that, see, if you know these people, better separate for them. Why? Because there's such a thing called consequence of dishonor by proxy. Are we together? And the ground in which they stood, the Bible says he opened up and swallowed them. Why don't you like reading those parts of the scripture? Are we together? Yeah. You are a good father. It's still on the screen. Forever will we say that you are good. We understand God is good. Do you understand? But the goodness of God is not an excuse for you to act dishonorable to places, to people, to events, to, you know, to different things. Are we together? So I just said that in passing for you. It's not in passing. It's an instructive thing. You understand, right? But you need to ensure that you guard your heart as much as possible. So we look through, you know, some of the examples on Sunday as well. Look at Samuel and Saul. Is that correct? Samuel and Saul, right? I spoke about how Saul, that was when I was making a lot of mistakes around it. Who is the pastor? Samuel. Prophet Sam. Are we together? Then Saul was one that became a king. I remember what happened. Saul wanted to go and meet Samuel. And what did he say? The first thing that came to his mind was, what gift can we give to the priest, to the pastor? And we're together. Now, let me show you a few things from the concept of priesthood, right? Go all the way to Genesis 14. We will dwell on that scripture today, Genesis 14. Now, there's something called honor check you need to keep doing for yourself. We'll look at Abraham and Lot as well in the coming days, but let's just look at Genesis 14. If you go all the way to verse 18, Genesis 14, verse 18, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. Who is the him that he blessed? Abraham. So Abraham went to fight war. Is that correct? He fought war, and did he win? Are we together? Did Abraham win? Did Abraham fight war? Did Abraham win those wars? Right. Now, do you remember the story of what happened? Yeah, his cousin, his niece, is that correct? Nephew, sorry. Lot is a man, yeah? His nephew was kidnapped. And what did Abraham do? Bible says he picked 318 trained men from his vineyard, right? So Abraham was a wealthy man. See, for a man to say A and 315 or 14 people say yes, we are with you. Are we together? You are not a small man. Are we together? You know, so because why am I saying this? Some people teach that, you know, it was when Abraham gave Melchizedek his tithe, right, that what happened, he now became wealthy. That's not true. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him. Look at verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So Abraham was wealthy. But he met Melchizedek. Now, let me show you something about Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Look at verse 18 again. And Melchizedek, the who? King of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now, the word Melchizedek is got it from two words. Melek and Sedek in the Hebrew. I'll spell that for you. Melek, M-E-L-E-K, Melek, right? And it's a word that just means messenger. Melek, right? Messenger or servant, right? And Sedek is, it means to do things right. It can be used for a word, or it can be used to speak about, you know, justice, so to say. Right, yeah, so which means, sorry, it means to do things right, and Melek rather means messenger. Are we together? He now says Melchizedek. So when we put Melchizedek together, what are we saying? Messenger of right doing, of righteousness. Can we say messenger of justice? Are we together? Right, so was God, so the story of Melchizedek is to teach about God, the God of war. Is God a God of war? Is God a God of war? Is God a God of war? Ah, God is a God of war. The question we should have as believers is, what kind of war does God fight? Are we together? Yeah? What kind of war does God fight? So the word Salem is the word that means peace. That's the word Salem. It means peace. So Abraham went to fight wars. And who did he meet when he was coming back? Melchizedek, who was a king. And can we say he was a priest as well? Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. Now, the Hebrew word for the word priest is Kohen. K-O-H-E-N. Kohen. And it's a word that means servant or a minister. So we said, Sedek means to do the right thing or for justice. Melek is for messenger or servant. We said, Salem is for peace. Then we have priest is Kohen, and it means minister or servant. So it means that Melchizedek was a king that was a minister. Is that together? Is Melchizedek a king? King of what? Salem. What is Salem? Peace. So who is Melchizedek? King of peace, who is a servant. Did you get that? Melchizedek, king of peace, that is Salem, and he is a priest. So Melchizedek, king of peace, and he is a servant or a minister. The question now becomes, what exactly is Melchizedek representing in the Bible? Melchizedek is representing that the approach to leadership and mastery or kingship of God is not what man sees it as. Let me say that differently. Abraham was a man who went to fight war, and he killed. Abraham killed. See, the killing that Abraham did was not figurative. Are we together? Yeah? Abraham killed. And in Abraham's killing, on his way back, he met the man called what? King of peace. Altogether. So there's not a thing called peace. And there's not a thing called fighting. Now, there is a war of peace, and there's a war of fighting. So are Christians supposed to fight? Yes. And what war are we to fight? The war of peace. Why is Melchizedek? Look at Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. You know, when we read these things in scriptures, it's not to put fear in you, but it's to let you see certain facts and truths in the Bible. Look at Psalm 110, verse 1. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Look at verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a what? A priest forever. After the what? Order of Melchizedek. Was Abraham to be a priest? Are we here? Was Abraham to be a priest? Are we here? Was Melchizedek a priest? Was Abraham a priest? Who is a priest? A minister? A servant? Are we together? Was Abraham a minister? Okay? But what did Abraham as a minister do when he went to those kingdoms that kidnapped Lot? He went to fight, and he destroyed them, and he took their spoils. Who did he meet? Melchizedek. So are there two orders in that story? There's the order. So you can either follow Abraham as a mentor. Is that correct? Or follow Melchizedek as a mentor. Who is the scripture asking you to be? Look at verse 4 again. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent that thou art a priest forever after the what? The order of Melchizedek. Right? So we have a kingdom, and in that kingdom, there's a war we fight. But the war we fight is a war of peace. Look at how Hebrews takes that narrative in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, thereabouts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter... Look at Hebrews chapter 5. It says, for every priest, high priest, is taken from amongst men. You know, some people said Melchizedek did not have beginning or end. Is that correct? Who is Melchizedek? He just appeared. But what do you think Salem was a place? If Salem was a place and Salem had a king, can their king be someone that would just appear from nowhere? More often than not, he would have grown up in that region. You can't say you are the king of Edinburgh, but you just appeared from nowhere. Right? Now, look at what it says. For every high priest in verse 5 is taken from amongst men and is ordained for men in things pertaining to what? To God. Hebrews 5 verse 1. That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Look at chapter 6. He now says, therefore, let me look at chapter 7. Chapter 7. Are you there? For this Melchizedek, king of what? Salem. Yeah, king of peace. Is that correct? Priest. Who is priest there? Is that minister? Is that servant? So, priest of the Most High. So, who is an ideal king to God? An ideal king is the one that will be a servant king. Are we together? Because the Bible calls Melchizedek a priest unto the Most High. Right? So if he's a priest, we said the word priest is servant or minister, it means that Melchizedek is going to be a servant of God. So it means God's ideal man who will be a priest will be one who is a servant king or who will be a king. Now we're together. You know, you read 1 Corinthians, 1 Peter 2, 9. Yeah? We're a what? Royal, we're a chosen generation, a what? A royal priesthood. Yeah, what is royalty there? Kingship, is that correct? Then what is the priesthood there? Service. So what kind of king does God want to be in authority? A king that serves. Are you here? Right? So master in the gospel or master in the things of God is to be seen as one who is a chief servant. That's why Jesus, we say in scriptures, I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve. So the master that God expects to be a master in our world is the one that is a leader or a master by service. So a master is not known as someone who can say, go there, and everybody goes there. Or he says, come here, and everybody comes there. All together, right? A master is seen. So there's a heart that God expects his royal priesthood to have, and is a heart of service. Are we together? So it says, for Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the what? Slaughter of the king, and he blessed him. Look at verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after the king of Salem, which is king of peace. Look at verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but what? Made like unto... Listen to what I just want to show you right now. Did Melchizedek have father? Did Melchizedek have father? Did Melchizedek have father and mother? Who is Melchizedek? A king and a priest. What did you read in Hebrews 5? Who is a priest? A priest is one that is taken from amongst men. Are we together? Right? So, did Melchizedek, you know, some of us believe that Melchizedek, you know, I had a doctrine a few years ago. A pastor said that Melchizedek was the first Jesus to come and collect tithe in the Bible. Are we together? Melchizedek, you see, tithe is so important to God, which is true. Yeah? Yeah? But you now say tithe is so important to God, such that God had to come himself to come and collect the first tithe in the Bible. Melchizedek, the Bible says he doesn't have father, doesn't have mother. But simple Bible language says he was what? Made like unto. That means the person who wrote about the story of Melchizedek is who? Moses. In his writing of the story of Melchizedek, what did he do about Melchizedek in his story? He made him to look like somebody who did not have a father or mother. Yeah? Look at it very well in verse 3. Yeah? He says, without father, without mother, without descent. Yeah? The moment we say he didn't have a descent, he didn't have a father, it means that was Jesus. Are we get? Are we here? But Melchizedek is not, was not Jesus. Melchizedek in the stories written by Moses was made to look like, look at it again. He says, but he was made like unto the Son of God. He was made, look at verse 5, and verily they that of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment. Look at verse 6 now. But he whose descent is not, listen to what I'm about to show you, right? He whose descent is not what? Counted from the from them, received the tithe of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is what? Blessed by the better. Verse 8. And here men that die receive tithe, but there he received them of whom it is witness that he lived. So what was Moses' story showing between Melchizedek and Abraham? Let me tell you for free. Moses was trying to paint a picture of Melchizedek, a higher king or a higher priest than who? Abraham. You know, it says the Levites are the ones that take the tithe. Is that correct? Where did the Levites come from? What's their great-grandfather's name? Huh? This is Aaron. Levi, Jacob, Isaac, yeah, all the way to Abraham. Is that correct? Yeah. So who is Melchizedek? Melchizedek did not come from that lineage. So Melchizedek is outside the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi. Are we together? Right? Who is greater between that lineage and Melchizedek? In Moses' story, he makes Melchizedek greater than Abraham. So who did Abraham give his tithes to? He gave to the one that is greater than himself. Are we together? So it means that when Moses, if Abraham and Melchizedek should come and stand there and talk about war, who should you listen to? Melchizedek. Yeah? What did Melchizedek do when he saw Abraham? Bible says he brought bread and wine. Are we together? Right? Bread and wine, in your mind, what does that mean today? Holy communion. Are we together? Body of Jesus, blood of Jesus. If you were to read that story as a sound student of the Bible, what will you see in Melchizedek's bringing bread and wine? It is Melchizedek, a king, who is a priest, was teaching Abraham the concept of bread and wine. So what did Jesus say? This is my body broken for you. This is my blood drink for the remission of sins. So if the body and the blood of Jesus was for remission and forgiveness of sins, it means that what Melchizedek was teaching Moses was what? Priesthood by forgiveness. Is that peace? The one who forgives is not the one that wants peace. Are we together? Yeah? So what was Melchizedek teaching? He was teaching the war. So is Jehovah a man of war? Yes. Jehovah is a man of war. But the war that Jehovah fights is the war of peace. Are we together? So it means that by extension, when you see yourself as a privileged person to be a leader or a master or a king or a priest, you must be one who should operate in that office based on service. A servant leader, a servant king. Now, take that knowledge into your secular world. Are we together? Let's assume you get yourself into a position of a manager. Are we together? And you have a different people under your team that you are leading. How do you act in that team? You act as a Christian. Is that correct? Yeah? Which is more important to the believer? Yeah? Your office authority in your building, your office, what do you call it, position in your office, or your position in Christ? So how do you relate with your position in office? From the knowledge of your position in Christ. So when you get to work in the morning, who are you first? You are not a project manager first or a business analyst first. You are a leader, you are a believer first. Are we together? So are people watching you? Let me ask you a question. Should people watch you? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you will be you'll be slightly not intelligent to think that people are not watching you. Are we together? Right? And you also, must you have a mindset of people watching you? Yes. Must you also have a mindset to not assume that everybody is watching you? Yes. Yeah, because, you know, if you believe that everybody is watching you, you know, sometimes you begin to do some analysis in your head and it doesn't have roots, it doesn't have top. Have you seen a man, right, who feels too full of himself, right? Anytime he walks into a mist of ladies, he assumes and thinks they are all trying to what? They are all trying to greet him, right? And you as a lady who is not as secure, are we together, right? What happens? You now get unnecessarily jealous. Why is she looking at you like that? Are we together? Yeah? And you just actually walk in your own set. So it's one thing for you to know that wherever you walk into, there's a tendency people are watching you. But don't feel yourself or make yourself feel too big to think without you, there's no... You know that people, some people think that way. Without you, there's no room. You are the one that brings the room into reality. Are we together? Roommates. Are we together? Right. So, but the truth is that because you are a believer, there's a way you act in your office. Are we together? So, was Melchizedek used to teach about Jesus? Are we, did you hear what I just said? Was Melchizedek Jesus? No. Was Melchizedek used to teach about Jesus? Yes. So what is the example you learn from Melchizedek? Leadership mastery by serving. Are we together? Mastery by serving. So at a point in your life, you might be one who is a master. At some other point, you might be one who is a servant. Both of them are tackled in the resurrection. Is that true? Yeah. So when you serve at work, you have a sense of honor for your work. All together. You have a sense of honor for people. Yeah. No matter who they've put you above in your office space, you don't talk to people anyhow. You don't act to people anyhow. You don't behave to people anyhow. Yeah. Are we together? Yeah. So there's a way you treat others. Why? Because you are first a believer. Right? Let's look at a few examples in the Bible. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Ephesians 6, 5. Praise God forevermore. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It says, servants, is that correct? Let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. Now, so is that your boss? Is that your boss? Who is Paul teaching about? Your boss. Okay? So be obedient, right? Submit yourself, right? To listen and hearken to their words, to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. In what? Singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Look at verse 6. Not with what? You know what eye service is? Yeah? Eye service is that kind of thing where you just open your laptop and you are watching a movie. And when you just see your master coming or boss come, what do you do? Tororo, enter. Tororo, enter. Are we together? How do you know that's how they do it? Are we together? Yeah? You are watching Netflix with internet of your with the internet of your office. Are we together? And as you just, you know, some of us have the shortcuts. Oh, or tab. Let me go and report. Let me go and report you to your master. Alt tab. And before you know it, alt tab, you've left Netflix. You have opened a very sensitive document such that when they even see, they want to promote you. To think you are working on that document by that time. And once they just leave you, I was together. I remember I went to one of the places where I worked in Nigeria. You know, and when I went to the place, I was wondering why they gave me a type of seat. I rejected it. In singleness of heart. I went together because why will I sit in a place where everybody is just coming and seeing my... not like I was doing anything that was... But it's not in Christ. I don't see that template in Christ. Bible says, be what? Be vigilant. Watch. Yeah. So if I want to watch as a believer, I need to sit in a position where what is behind me is wall. Are we together? Then you'll see the CCTV camera from that view. Yeah, but what I was saying, you see some people, they are so fast at it. Quick. Alt tab, screen has changed, and they just start typing to go. Nothing they're saying, you know, to go, enter.
And now start squeezing their face as if it's something that is stressing them. They are watching how to get away with mother. Are we together? So you will find out that as believers, there's an expectation of you. Bible says, not with eye service, as men pleases, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Are we together? If you look all the way in verse 7, it says, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. Look at verse 9, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, forbearing what? Threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So in the life of Jesus, do we see a master servant? So in the life of Jesus, a servant knows the template to take. And in the life of Jesus, a master knows the template to take. The same Jesus. So if that is the case for the believer, it means the believer needs to pay deliberate attention to how he honors relationship, either as a servant or a master. All together. So you have that template in looking at Jesus as a shepherd and with we as a sheep. Are we together? So Jesus in his life will take the position of a sheep. Is that correct? Yeah, as a sheep led to the slaughter. Are we together? Right? Yeah, without words spoken. Right? He was killed. Glory to God. And also he's the shepherd of the sheep. Praise God forever. So one of the things you will understand is that in your relationships with people, anywhere you find yourself, there's a level of honor that's expected for you, from you. And you know, like I would always say, honor is something that will show in your actions. You can't slap someone or beat someone, are we together, and be saying as you are beating them, you know, I honor you. Are we together? You know, I honor you. Are we together? Right? No, you can't behave that way. So, honor will be true. Now, in different parts of the world, there will be different expressions of honor. Is that correct? Yeah, there will be different. I grew up, for instance, in a home, right, seeing honor demonstrated in a certain way. Right? And that, what am I saying? I'm not saying only to my elders. Are we together? It always also comes in the way I speak. You know, in our house in Abuja, for instance, we have a company responsible for the security of the building and all of those things. Right? And when I relate with them a lot of times, I relate with them as brothers, fundamentally because they are Christians. Are we together? Right? I relate to them as brothers. Fundamentally, I told you an example of someone who used to clean in one of the companies there, right? And we still speak to you today, right? And one of the things he had said was that, how do you treat me the way you do? Like I said earlier on, people are watching. Let me tell you something. If you shout down on someone and the person does what you want them to do, it doesn't mean that they don't observe what you did. You get the point? Yeah, so it means in your relationship with people, you can be honorable. So we've looked at honor to your parents. Is that correct? Honor to your siblings. Yeah, both above and below. You can't say parents above and below. Your parents cannot be below. Can you be older than your parents? No. That's trouble. If they say, for those people that they say used to come into another world years after. Right? So there's certain things called honor for your siblings, honor for your master, honor for your servant, whatever situation you find yourself, and other people. Now, one of the things you must also understand is that because God is big on relationship, you know, we said that earlier on. God is big on relationship. How do you know that? Right? That is why your coming into this earth cannot be by one human being. There's only one that beats that, and that's the birth of Jesus. Everybody in this earth, even if you see a woman who says, I don't know the father, I don't know the father does not mean he's a miracle child in her womb. I don't know the father can mean too many things. That's not me to understand. But that you don't know the father does not mean that there was no father. God has put a structure that relationships will bring a birthing of another human being. So that's why you have grandfather, you have great grandfather. You can't just say you are not self-existent. You see, no matter how much you want to cut yourself from your biological family, those are the people that brought you into this world. I can tell you for free, if your father did not meet your mother, or your great-grandfather did not meet your great-grandmother, you will not be here today. It might be next week they want to give birth to you. Are we together? Yeah? It might be that you don't even exist. Yeah, they are unique. There's a uniqueness to each relationship that comes together. So it means that there's an expectation. So if God, by extension, will come into a relationship with man, is that correct? Yeah, it's not good that man should be alone. Is that correct? Yeah, man needs a helpmate. Who's the helpmate? God himself. Are we together? God the Izzah, the one that rescues, right? And in doing that, he's coming into a relationship with man so that man can let brotherly love what? Continue. Are we together? Yeah. Now, one of the things I want to close on today is the fact that the people who God will use on this earth, are we together, are going to be men that have flaws. Please write that in your notes. Those that God will use in this earth are people who will have flaws. Do you remember when Stephen was stoned? All together. What was Stephen doing when he was stoned? He was preaching. Right? Do you know that that was the fundamental place that you trace back to history that Paul heard the message of the gospel? You know, Paul heard the message then, and yet he didn't budge. But what happens? A few months, a period after, he now has a supernatural experience. Do you know that even in that supernatural experience, God still had to instruct another man? What's the name of the man? Ananias. Is that correct? Yeah? And he said what? Go and lay your hands on brother Saul. For he is a chosen vessel. Let me tell you something. The people who God uses may not look like may not look as perfect as you think perfection should be. That's not an excuse for the people who God is using to now be behaving anyhow. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Because some people like to hear one side of the story. I'm God's vessel, I'm God's vessel, I'm God's vessel. You now start misbehaving. No, that's not the point. But you as a person, you need to always understand that because God will use man, right? The man will be, so Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians, he says, we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Vessels that don't look like it. Are we together? Yeah? Vessels that don't look like it. You know, if you were to go into a desert, right, and you were thirsty, right, what will you, when you see a bottle of, let me ask you a question. When you see a clean bottle, of ever water, for instance, or whatever bottle we have. So you have a full bottle of ever, and it's full of dirty water. And you have a squashed bottle, and the water is clean. Which one will your mind move to drink? Are we together? Yeah? What do you need? The contents. Are we together? And you will take the content to sustain your life, regardless of the container. Now, is it good to have content and container looking all crisp, perfect, sweet, beautiful? Yes, but it will not always be like that. Altogether. Yeah? You know, you also notice something. Have you not noticed that with all the stories you read about the things David did? David was a man. You know what David did? David just went on Twitter one day. And he just saw somebody's wife showering. Is that not correct? Right? And what happened? He went after that woman. And when he found out that the taste was sweet, hallelujah, praise God, what did he do? He now sent these brothers and these... Let's stay in the world, okay? God have mercy. So he saw that the taste was good. And what did he say? He said, who is the husband of that one? He now sent for that one from the battlefield. What happened? He now called him and said, you know, you're one of my most trusted allies. I want you to be at the forefront of the battle. He now told everybody with him, because of woman, now told everybody with him, when he goes to the front, let him be going home. When the war is getting fierce, what do you do? Imagine a king says, he gives an instruction, he says, withdraw. You know this story? Okay, the way I'm saying it's different. Okay, you know, I have to bring it to my word. There is their word, there is my word. That's where you understand it. I should be a story writer. Maybe I'll have 7 million views in 5 days. I know, that was for you. And you fell for it. Praise God forevermore. If you ask her, she knows. Yeah, so what happened? Uzziah, okay, the name I'm talking about is Uzziah. And who's the wife? Bathsheba. Who was the mother of Solomon? The same Bathsheba. So, King David sent his her husband to the battlefield where it was fierce. And he says, as you see him going, just be shouting behind him, we are with you. Oh, we are with you. We are with you. Right? But the moment people just come around, just be shouting, we are with you. But let him be going forward. And what happened? Uzziah died there. And this man was not even, he couldn't have even felt, you know, pathetic. What was the word? Empathetic or whatever the word is. He carried that one and gave birth to another one. But guess what? No New Testament author of scripture speaks about the flaws of David. Not one. You know, David is, after Moses, David, you can say, is one of the most quoted prophets in the writings of the Testament. Yet, see what he did. Are we together? Have you read Hebrews 11? You have a book called Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame. Hall of Faith. Are we together? In Hebrews 11, which story do you see there points to any of the flaws of those men? All you see is David by faith, Abraham by faith, Noah by faith. Altogether. So even the author of scriptures were wise enough to show honor. So it means honor, right, will be a sense of admiration for people regardless of what they look like. What I'm trying to say is that it's not what they look like that should make you honor. No. You should honor because it's a culture and practice that should emanate from your inside. Altogether. So it's not whatever you see. For we have these treasures in earthen vessels. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 40. Look at what Jesus says there. Matthew 10, 40. He says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that what? Sent me. So, if God has a vessel and you reject the vessel because of how the vessel looks, who have you rejected? God. Did you get that? If God has a vessel that has a content, right? But because of your knowledge, because of the things that you know, we're going to look at it in the coming days. How do you think, right, the woman who took the hem of his garments got her healing? She filtered her social media space. Are we together? Were there no words about Jesus that were terrible on the streets? Yes, there were words. Are we together? So Jesus had words that were terribly said about him on the streets. Yet a woman will say to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. A man will climb the tree and say, Jesus, Zacchaeus, and say, Jesus, just come into my home. Another one will see Jesus and say, don't come to my house, just speak your words. That's honor. Yeah? So honor has a way of filtering. It has a way of filtering. That's why I tell you, when you have, you know, a leader, a pastor, anywhere you are in the world, and they are familiar with you, and they are getting friendly with you, up your honor game. Because I can tell you for free, you will see their flaws. You will see their flaws. There's nobody who is perfect. Yeah, but we rely on our perfection in Christ. We are struggling, we are aiming, we are looking forward to, nobody has everything all figured out for them. But you see, God, because he is a God of man, right, he will use man for what he is doing in the earth. So Jesus says, if anybody rejects you, they rejected me. If anyone receives you, they've received Jesus. Don't you see, when you go for evangelism, what happens? You preach the gospel. Somebody welcomes your words, and what happens? In welcoming them, they receive life. They did not see, when you got born again, you didn't see Jesus face to face, did you? You didn't have a physical interaction with Jesus, but you received the man that spoke words, and in receiving that man, you received Jesus into your heart. It's God's method on the earth. God will always use men, regardless of their flaws. Look at Abraham. Abraham had a wife that was beautiful. Abraham took his wife into a kingdom. And the king on his throne saw a beautiful lady, right? And because Abraham did not want him to kill him, what did he say? He said, this is not my wife. This is my what? Sister. You know his son did it. Generational what? You know, there are generational patterns. Father, son, right? Just learn some wisdom from it. But guess what? Abimelech was in the room with this woman, right? He was trying to say, feel free now, feel free, feel at home. Feel at home. What do you want, wine? Take it. And the Bible says that God appeared to Abimelech and said, for the woman you have in your room, are we together? is the wife of a prophet. Don't touch her. Look at it. What did Abraham do? He lied. Is it good to lie? No. But that he lied did not change the fact that God was going to still recognize him as a servant. What now happened? He will say, restore the woman back to the husband and let him pray for you. Do you understand how Abimelech will be shocked at God? Wait now, but they are not related. But it says sister. Are we together? Do you think Moses did not have flaws? God gave Moses an instruction. Are we together? To what? To speak. What did he do? He went to gym. Right? And he struck it. Was there a miracle? They drank supernatural water. Moses one day saw people were trying to take advantage of him and his family. What did he do? The Bible says he fought and he to the point that CCTV camera was there, he did not know. And what happened? One day we're just walking and we're just going to go and buy bread. And someone just started running away. Before you kill me like you kill that brother. What did Moses do? Moses, you know, that was the run that took Moses away. And he ran and he went to go and find Jethro. And we're together. That's when he now finally married. When he now came back with the story. Well, you know, that's what led to the story of... He found wife on that journey now. That's what led to the story of Miriam and Aaron dishonoring him. There are women in our camp. We have to go and marry outside. God said, you see, this one is my chosen vessel. So, the flaws of men will not tamper with the content. That's why you listen carefully. You see, as you grow in the Christian faith, ensure that you guard your hearts to keep walking upright with God. For God is a God of uprightness. He's a God of righteousness. Don't get yourself mixed up or walked up into, you know, and try to just, you know, some of us are just trying to play around with our early 20s, early 30s because we want to be serious with God and Christian living in our 40s and 50s. No. All together. Jesus was saying in John chapter 13, verse 20, John 13, 20, Jesus says in John 13, 20, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. The same thing read in Matthew 10. So when ministers of the gospels, when vessels of the gospel are received, they receive God. When they are not received, they've rejected God. When they reject man, they reject God. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. Let's read that quickly as we close today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. That's why a pastor, a leader, somebody who God is using, when you see, you know simple men by how they don't brag. Are we together? Right? On self-righteousness. No. Right? Because God will use men, right? God, you see, you know what God does? God looks for a container and puts his content in the container, expecting that the container will align to the content. Are you here? You didn't stop lying before you became born again. People that get born again, it could be that someone just killed somebody now, or somebody just actually insulted someone or lied, and somebody preached to him and he gets born again. Yet, we don't even have a record that he might have repented from what he did that was wrong. But God put his content in his man, expecting that the container will align to the content. What am I saying to you today? Ensure that you keep that heart of service for God's content. You honor people, particularly leaders, particularly those as vessels, chosen vessels. And like I told you, in Moses' generation, there was only one Moses that God chose. In Abraham's generation, there will be Abraham. There will be Noah, preacher of righteousness. There will be Peter, there will be Paul, right? And those men, even though you see all their flaws, who is Peter? Peter was the one who denied Jesus how many times? 3 times. Do you think God wanted his content in Peter as much as he wanted in Judas? Yes, God wanted his content in both of them, expecting that the container aligns to the content. That's why I always tell you, when you see people talking about men who God has put his content in, and you yourself, you know, wrong. Altogether. I'll tell you for free, right? A few years ago, I found myself in people amongst people who, you know, were talking about, you know, and Pastor Shego. And I gave myself a punishment regarding that. I told you that severally, right? In fact, there are some friendships I've lost on account of me not yielding to the words that they said. So, and I have in meetings, no matter what you say he did, that's your business. I choose to be that woman in the midst of NTA, in the midst of CNN, when there were various news about Jesus. She just said, there's a content, there's something I want to get from this man. Yeah, like I told you on Sunday, 3 Sundays ago, even if you see a pastor, even if you're in your discernment, you know that pastor is fake. That does not mean you sit down and discuss pastors with your friends. Discuss people who God has put his content in. See, there are people who God will put his content in, and even after they receive the great content and deposit of God's spirit, they will still keep acting in the flesh intentionally. So what do? You filter your mind, you filter your eyes, you filter your heart. I used to give myself punishment that time. That's the only way I can follow pastors today. That we should talk about him. I had friends, yeah, I was with some of them a couple weeks ago, right? And after spending a couple hours with them, probably six hours with them, they spoke about everything. They didn't talk about my pastor because I've already caught them warning. You know what it means to cut warning? Yeah, that's me. I want to live long and do ministry long. So if I recognize who God wants to use for my life, I shield my mind from whatever information you have. Are we together? That's how to keep yourself in honor. There's such a thing called honor check. Very important. Are we together? Even those who are always, when you have a friend who is always talking about pastor, this pastor said this, that church, they are doing this. They don't have anything tangible to their lives. How do you treat false teachers? How does Bible teach you tackle false teachers? We tackle false teachers by getting hard on the word, hard on the truth. We don't even know the church you attend. But we know you know all the pastors that are fake. Do you understand? We don't even know where you are submitted to. But you have the YouTube channel. You have the following. You have the saying, pastor, they behave this way. This one, in that church, I heard they do this way. What's your business with that? That's why if you want to ensure that you keep receiving from God, what God will use to minister to you or what God will use to give you something might not look like what you're expecting. Some of us have a picture of who we think God will use for us. And we miss out. You hear people say things like what? You are always looking for the spectacular. Are we together? And you miss out on what? Things supernatural. Are we together? Ensure this instructs your heart. Look at someone around you and talk about the things you've learned today.